Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we talk to the State Command Sergeant Major Scott Mills, and he's brought a surprise guest with him. And a little later, we'll have Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen on. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
On Friday, families and friends bid farewell to the Minnesota Agribusiness Development Team, or ADT. This 22-person military unit will conduct agribusiness development operations in Zabul Province, Afghanistan, for a year-long period beginning in the fall of 2011. Their mission promotes the development of agriculture by supporting sustainable agribusiness projects at the local and provincial levels. The team will also develop an extension service to strengthen the connection between the Minister of Agriculture and the people of the province. The ADT is a concept originally developed within the National Guard Bureau. It's been employed as an innovative strategy to bring the agriculture knowledge and expertise of citizen soldiers to bear within the U.S. military efforts in Afghanistan. The program began in 2008 with a team from Missouri. Subsequently, other states quickly followed with their own teams. The National Guard makes a commitment of 5 years to each province that hosts an ADT to invest in building the capacity of the Minister of Agriculture. The goal is to aid in the transition of the agricultural effort to civilian governance. There is currently 11 ADTs operating in Afghanistan. The Minnesota ADT will be the third such team in Zabul Province, located in southern Afghanistan, just north of Kandahar. Partnerships are very important to the Agribusiness Development Team. Although the team is staffed with numerous experienced agricultural members, it is critical that the team is trained in current sustainable techniques and crops that are not typically grown in the Midwest. Several of the key crops in the province are winter wheat, grapes, apricots, pomegranates, almonds, and walnuts. Training sessions and discussions the ADT has had with academia, nonprofits, businesses, and other mentors has been instrumental in preparing the team for the mission. It has also established important relationships that can advise and guide the team while in theater. To the soldiers of the Minnesota National Guard Agribusiness Team, best wishes to you as you take on this very important mission in teaching Afghan farmers sustainable agriculture.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to the MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us in the studio today is the State Command Sergeant Major, Scott Mills. Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Sergeant Major.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you.
Sergeant Major, for our listeners that may not know, can you explain what a State Command Sergeant Major is and what your duties are?
Well, I can tell you that is a great question. Primarily, my role is to advise the Adjutant General on all things associated with or affecting the enlisted force for the state of Minnesota. And this would include anything from promotions, assignments, morale, and discipline issues that we might be experiencing. And I also communicate his strategic message any opportunity that I get, but most specifically when I'm dealing with the enlisted force.
Sergeant Major, this would involve both the Army and the Air National Guard, correct?
Correct.
So do you work closely with the Air National Guard?
I work very closely with Command Chief Close, who is the my Air counterpart, and we together attack both the Army and the Air.
Now, Sergeant Major, can you tell us, you've had a nice long career with the Minnesota National Guard. Can you fill us in a little bit on how long that's been and some of the highlights?
Well, I can tell you I've been fortunate and honored to wear the uniform for the last 26 years, and I've had a tremendous career, and I've had the opportunity to work with some great leaders and mentors. I started my career as an infantryman and transcended into the armor community and bounced back and forth through the course of my career. Most specifically was my tour with the 1st Brigade Combat Team and then arriving to this position once I returned. So it's been an honor to serve the soldiers and airmen of this organization, and it's been an honor to wear the uniform.
So You've really worked your way up from infantryman, tank commander, scout squad leader, armored platoon, all the way up to being the highest-ranking enlisted person in the Minnesota National Guard.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
And Sergeant Major, I'm curious. We've had all of these deployments in the last 10 years, and, of course, the 1st Brigade Combat Team now is over in Kuwait. It started with 2,400. I understand they're up to 2,600. How involved do you get in that process of the troops coming and going?
Well, I tell you, we're always at each departure ceremony, and we're always there when they return. So we're there as they come back home, and we're there as they leave. And it's that's something that we pride ourselves in, and being there. We also stay in continuous contact with the folks overseas to make sure that we can address any issues that they might be having as quickly as possible, especially if we can impact them from here.
Provide whatever support is necessary.
Exactly.
And I'm sure you've been up to Camp Ripley countless times, but it sounds like we've got one of the best training facilities in the state of anywhere.
We absolutely do have one of the very best training facilities, and we're fortunate to have Camp Ripley. And I'll tell you, we've seen it grow substantially over the course of the last 10 to 15 years to a premier training site.
And it's real important when we're sending all these troops overseas that the closer to home they can train, the more time they can stay home, and the less time they're gone, isn't it?
Absolutely. And because that time that we can provide for them to be with their families is very important, especially as they're getting ready to deploy to the theater of operation.
Sergeant Major, you and I have talked about this a number of times, but when we ask the deployed troops what we can do to help, what's their answer?
Well, the biggest thing that we can do is take care of their families. And it can be very simple, from just stopping by once a week to check on them, provide someone to lean on or talk to, but offering to mow their yards, maybe babysit so the spouse can get out of the house for a little bit, shovel their drive walk, or even drop off a meal from time to time. But be there for them, engage them, and make sure that they know that you're there to support them.
It's difficult enough being away for a year or more at a time, but with today's world and technology, they know what's going on back home, too.
Yes, they do. And unfortunately, if there's problems at home, the soldier will find out about them. Soldier or airman will find out about them sooner than the chain of command will in most cases. So it's very important that we're engaging those families, that we're in constant contact with them, and we're there for them. That takes a lot of stress off of our soldiers, because that's probably their biggest concern while they're deployed, is who's taking care of my family and who's making sure that they're okay. And so that's our role, not only as an organization, but as a community.
So the Yellow Ribbon communities and the family assistance centers are really important.
Critical. Absolutely critical to the success of a deployment.
Sergeant Major, we're coming up to an interesting part of your career. Something's going on this week, this month, isn't it?
Yes, it is, actually. I'm preparing for retirement after 26 years of service with the organization, and I'm very excited to be able to spend some more time with my family, who's endured quite a bit over the course of the last 26 years. So I'm very excited to be able to spend more time with them. I will miss the soldiers and airmen of this organization, but it's a great opportunity and an opportune time for me to depart.
So state command sergeant majors don't go straight from their desk to the old soldiers' home?
No. What's Boy, I hope not.
What's in your future, Sergeant Major?
Well, I'm looking at a couple of potential job opportunities out there. Right now, my biggest goal is to take between 30 and 45 days off and spend it with my family and get a bunch of things that have accumulated over the course of the last 4 years done, and rejuvenate and get ready for my second career.
Sergeant Major, we wish you the best of luck with that. Now, you've brought a surprise guest for us today. Can you introduce her?
I did, Tom, and it's a great honor for me to introduce the next state senior enlisted advisor for the state of Minnesota, and that is Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, who is an exceptional NCO. She and I have worked together in the past, spent some time together, and there is no doubt in my mind that she will do a phenomenal job in the future and take our enlisted force to where they need to be. So I'm very excited to announce Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg.
Sergeant Major Kahlberg, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We're going to have to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to dig into your career a little bit and see what your aspirations are in filling this gentleman's role as the State Command Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major Mills, thanks for joining us today. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we get to meet Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, who's going to be the next State Command Sergeant Major of the Minnesota National Guard. Sergeant Major, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
What an opportunity to become the first female State Command Sergeant Major in the history of Minnesota. How do you feel about that?
Obviously, I'm very honored to be in this position. And it's been a long road, but I can't wait to get started.
And the Adjutant General, I would assume, did a search to find out all of the eligible Sergeant Majors that might be there. And you came out of retirement for this position, didn't you?
I did. You never know what to expect.
You never do. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family? How many years were you in the Minnesota National Guard before you temporarily retired?
Sure. I've been in the military for about 26 years, but some of that was active duty, some of it was Army Reserve, and since about 1995, it's been National Guard. And I am married. I have two children and a grandson.
And how does your family feel about you coming out of retirement?
I think they were shocked at first, but my husband's also in the Guard, so it's kind of a family tradition, I think.
And a big honor.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm sure you're going to do a great job of it. Now, you've been in the Guard for a while, and you've been on a couple of deployments?
Yes, I've been to Kosovo on deployment. I worked in plans there, and I think it really helped me understand the big picture on what it takes to actually get something done in another country on a deployment. I've also been in Iraq. We got back probably about a year and a half ago now with the division. And I worked in the intelligence shop in Iraq.
So that was the longest deployment of the 34th Infantry Division?
It was a long one. We were gone for a year, yeah.
And I'm sure your family learned some things about military life and long deployments while you were on that one.
Oh, yes. I think my kids are pretty used to it between my deployments and my husband's deployments. And they've really stepped up to the plate. I think that they're an inspiration to other military families because they've been there. And they extend themselves to try to help others.
And that personal experience is probably going to come in pretty handy in your new position as the State Command Sergeant Major, isn't it?
I think it will, yes.
Have you, you listened a little bit when Sergeant Major Mills was here. Do you have a good understanding of everything that you have to do as the State Command Sergeant Major?
Oh, I think I have a general understanding. As far as getting down to brass tacks, I think I'm going to have to get out in the field and see. Obviously, I want to go out and talk to all the soldiers and see the units and see what's going on. I have been retired for a year, so I'm sure things have changed, and I need to get my feet wet.
And I'm sure you've had a lot of interaction with Sergeant Major Mills and some former command sergeant majors.
Yes, I have.
Looks to me, from a civilian standpoint, that they go to a lot of meetings, a lot of ceremonies. They meet a lot of folks. Pretty busy position.
They do, but it's great to be able to represent the soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard in all of those events and all of those meetings that they have.
Now, I'm curious, when you were on your last deployment, you had a security position?
Yes, I was actually running the intelligence section. We had about 230 people in that section doing the intelligence for the division on the deployment.
So can you explain that a little better, or is that classified?
Well, a lot of what my soldiers was doing was classified. But we did take some time to work with the Iraqi Army and Air Force, as well as their Border Patrol, to teach them intelligence processes so that when we left country, they were better able to take care of that themselves.
I see. Do you have a good idea of what's the first week look like or the second week? Do you have any new ideas coming into this position?
My calendar is full right now, and I think for at least the first week or so, I'm going to be listening a lot. Then we'll see what I do after that.
And I'm also curious, and maybe I shouldn't ask this question, but that position has been filled by men to date.
Yes.
And now that we have the first female State Command Sergeant Major, it's going to make any difference in what you do? I wouldn't think it makes any difference that you're going to do everything that they did and more.
I'm looking at the position through the eyes of a soldier, just like they did. So I don't think that the fact that I'm a female is going to change policies or procedures.
And we've had a lot of female soldiers and airmen on the show over the course of the last year, and things have really changed over the last 25, 30 years. It's when I was in the service 40 years ago, you know, there were nurses and a few female airmen and soldiers, but today there's more and more women heavily involved in, especially in the Minnesota National Guard, isn't there?
Yes, and I think that's a great move. I know coming up the ranks for me on active duty and in the Guard, there were not a lot of female mentors coming up the ranks. And I think that's important now that there are those females in place to be able to mentor females coming up the ranks.
And both officer and NCOs.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, this puts you in a position where a lot of those new young female Minnesota Guard troops are gonna feel pretty good about it and aspire to have your position someday, aren't they?
Oh, I know they'll be able to do it.
Any thoughts about your interaction with the units that are deployed and the Minnesota Guard troops that are scattered all over Minnesota?
Obviously, I look forward to going out and seeing all the troops, even the troops that are deployed. Hopefully we can get out to visit those guys soon. It's nice to see someone from home and know that we haven't forgotten about them and their issues, and that I will continue to work those issues even while they're deployed.
Terrific. Now, have you worked closely with General Nash in the past?
Yes, General Nash was on the last deployment that I was on. He was actually our commanding general. So I have worked with him in a couple of different capacities.
So you're a known quantity to him.
Yes, I am.
I'm sure that had something to do with your selection too, isn't it?
Probably, yes.
And this has got to be overwhelming to you right now because coming out of retirement, you thought you were a civilian again, and now you're going back into the military and you're going back into the top enlisted position. How does that feel? How can you describe that to the listeners?
Well, I think you're right. It is overwhelming, at first at least. Next week, maybe it'll have a different picture on it, but this week it's a little overwhelming.
Somehow I think you're going to do just fine.
Thank you.
And they loaded up your schedule already?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Hit the ground running.
You don't waste any time in the Minnesota National Guard.
Not at all.
One final question for you. For those men and women thinking about joining the Minnesota National Guard, now you're speaking as the top enlisted sergeant major. What would you tell them today?
There are so many opportunities in the Guard, more than have ever existed in the past. And I think you at least have to check out what your opportunities are out there, or you're going to miss out on a lot. College opportunities, education opportunities, both civilian and military. I think it's absolutely something everyone should check out.
And the GI Bill today still works pretty well for education benefits,
doesn't it? It does. It does.
I'm sure you'll be working closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to make sure that all of your troops and all the National Guard troops and those coming back from deployments know exactly what benefits are available for them.
We want to take care of everybody with their education, absolutely.
Great. Sergeant Major, any final thoughts for our listeners on this new position and this new outlook on life for you?
Sure. I know I have some big shoes to fill, backfilling Sergeant Major Mills. I've worked with him for a long time, and I understand his caliber of Sergeant Major. I'm honored to be representing the soldiers and the airmen of the Minnesota National Guard, and obviously I look forward to getting on board and getting out to visit each of the units in the near future.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you.
That was our new State Command Sergeant Major, Cindy Kahlberg. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how one Yellow Ribbon Network volunteer has gone above and beyond for service members and their families. Since joining the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network over 3 years ago, Cassandra Jensen has set the standard for volunteerism in her area. Not only has she cared for and supported her husband, a veteran who has served on 2 deployments, but the entire community has benefited from her hard work. She's helped with Hugo's popular burger night at the American Legion and coordinated the meal sharing system for families of deployed soldiers. And when donated furniture was needed to be delivered to a homeless veteran, Cassandra was there to help. For the Minnesota Military Family Foundation's golf tournament in August, she donated theme baskets for the silent auction. Since getting involved, Cassandra also has volunteered her time over multiple weekends by attending several reintegration events. As a military spouse, she knows how to help other families going through the deployment process. Finding innovative and meaningful ways to support service members and their families is no problem for Cassandra Jensen, a valuable asset to the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. Thank you to all our Yellow Ribbon volunteers for showcasing how remarkable individuals are going beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness for the purpose of connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects and coordinates organizations, agencies, and companies to provide resources and support to service members and their families. And it is united to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you can become part of the Yellow Ribbon Network, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org and find a family assistance area in your area. Coming up next will be Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen from the Minnesota National Guard right here on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
The Fergus Falls Veterans Home recently completed construction on a new 21-bed special care unit addition, scheduled to open this October. We call this Veterans Village, and it consists of two households and is designed to offer medical services in a home-like environment. Instead of a long white hallway that looks like an institutional setting, there are street lamps and park benches that lead to the residents' homes, which are designed to look like cottages, equipped with its own porch, window, and rocking chair. This Veteran Village addition will become home to 21 new residents with a focus on memory loss and dementia. The new addition will also house a Veterans Administration community-based outpatient clinic. This new addition is a great example of the exciting things happening at our Minnesota veterans' homes. We are moving beyond just residents' medical needs and focusing on ways to improve their lives and make our homes their homes.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now from the Minnesota National Guard is Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen. Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Chaplain.
How's it going, Tom? Good to see you again, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
It's good of you to be here, sir. Now, you are currently serving as the Rear Detachment Chaplain for the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division.
That's right. What a great outfit, and a lot of soldiers are doing their jobs. It's just great to be with them and to help take care of their families.
And you're serving as the Rear Detachment Chaplain. Can you explain that to me?
Well, what that really boils down to is providing ministries of various kinds, like Strong Bonds events for spouses. We just had a tremendous event here the other weekend, last weekend, for the spouses, help sustain them during the rotation, but then also to take care of the rear det, who is the soldiers that are left back here who are not deployed, and then also supporting the families that are deployed in various ways and means, providing counsel, referral, and any special needs that might have they may have. We make that referral for them or try to get those needs met to help sustain those families.
So when the 1st Brigade has 2,600 soldiers over in Kuwait, there are chaplains there stationed with them.
That's right.
And then you're back here to help take care of the families and the other members.
Precisely.
Chaplain, last week I had an opportunity to interview the brigade command sergeant major, Paul Herr, with the brigade from Kuwait, and I asked him a question. I'd like to play this clip for you, if you don't mind. Sergeant Major, is there anything our listeners can do to help support your soldiers?
The best thing that I can tell anybody that they want to do to help support their soldier is, you know, try and get a hold, you know, do everything you can to get in contact with your local armory, get a hold of that Yellow Ribbon community. And hook up with them, because I'm telling you, if you can take the load off the families back there and their stresses that they go through, we have a set deal here, and we know what we're going to get pretty much on a day-to-day basis, minute by minute. So it's a little bit easier for us. It takes a load off when the families are taken care of and they don't have to worry about broken dishwashers and a broke-down car and a belt broken on their lawnmower, and, you know, who's going to do this and who's going to do that. So, and especially with winter coming, I can see a lot of guys, a lot of soldiers are nervous about the winter and how that's going to impact their family.
So, Chaplain, I get the question all the time from civilians and veterans and so forth, how can we help support the troops? And, of course, the answer I get from the troops is, help take care of my family. You're here to help take care of the family spiritually, but there's a whole infrastructure of people and organizations here to help the families. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and you know, one of the primary things is to have a head knowledge of what resources are out there available for the families. And so as part of a referral, maybe you ask the family, have you contacted the Family Assistance Center? So that's one place. But then there's other things. We often think of the troops when they're forward. Well, have we ever considered sending a care package to the family? And maybe the spouse, whether a guy or gal, could really benefit from something that is offered by faith community or veteran or any group that wants to help out, send in a lotion or a phone card or something like that, or a free gift card at Applebee's or whatever. That's another way. Other thing is we could provide a call, just check in to see how they're doing and offer and say, how you doing? you making it all right? Is there anything that we can help you with? But don't say, give me a call. Get to find out the information, find out who it is. If you know them, get their number and call them. Another way, which is very, very essential, is to pray. Remember to pray for these families daily, because this separation is tough business. And these families are resilient, yet at the same time, they're human beings. And they get tired and exhausted. And so a call and a prayer are very, very powerful ways in which you can help these families. And I also think that they will not feel alone when they do that. And we hear that constantly, that even though military families are surrounded by people, they still feel alone. And so that call to them and offering of that prayer is really, really important. I also think that you could send the soldier a card, Amazon.com. They'll appreciate maybe even the Kindle and grab a book off there. And there are all manner of ideas that you could use to help the families. However, the key to remember is to help the family endure the separation and help them not feel alone.
And Chaplain, one of the easiest ways for our listeners to do that is to make a connection with their local Yellow Ribbon community. And there they can make some cookies, visit for coffee, shovel snow, mow the lawn, volunteer for some light maintenance around the house, those type of things.
Absolutely. And the communities that are out there with Beyond Yellow Ribbon, they support businesses, Chamber of Commerce, all those support military families in those ways. But the faith communities can also help too. The churches that are out there that have military members in their congregations, but also others. And so, and there are all manner of ways. I actually have a plan to help take care of them. And you can just check in with them on a monthly basis and maybe do some of those maintenance things. It's very important that they feel not alone to help sustain them. And these are all practical ways to get that done.
So, Chaplain, if our listeners want to help, they can go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Absolutely.
And anywhere else you would suggest for them to go if they wanted to find out a way to be useful and helpful to the families?
Yep, that would be one of the primary ways. And on there's probably links for the Yellow Ribbon Outreach Coordinators that get them involved. Or they could talk to their local pastors in their churches and who may have contacts and connections with me or whatever. And, you know, they can offer support services, cards, contacts. There's all kinds of ways that they can get the information they need to really get to be the hands and feet of making this stuff happen.
And of course, our military families are proud families.
Absolutely.
Their military members are serving our country and risking their lives. So the best way to keep it anonymous would be for the listeners to go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and make sure that they've volunteered their services and get in touch with those Yellow Ribbon communities.
Absolutely. And when they do that, then those folks that are with the Yellow Ribbon, in terms of the structure in the military, they will get a hold of the appropriate places and people to get them in contact with them.
All right, Chaplain, we're going to have to take a short break. We've been speaking with Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen from the Minnesota National Guard. We'll be back with another segment with him shortly. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I'm here with Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen from the Minnesota National Guard. Chaplain, we've been talking about how to support the families and so forth, but this whole Yellow Ribbon program really started out several years ago as a reintegration program for the returning troops returning from deployments and for their families. Can you tell us a little bit how that all came about and worked? I think Chaplain Morris and the former Adjutant General had probably a lot of input from the Chaplain's Corps to try to help put this program together.
Absolutely, and that's the whole thing. A soldier comes out of a combat zone, and in just a few days, week or so, a little bit longer, they're back in their families when they were just in combat or in a war zone, just a few hours, if you really boil it down, prior to being at home. And now they're at home, and there are challenges to be faced that the families have with getting back together and reestablishing intimacy, roles, and getting back to the structure of who does what around the house and sort of that thing. So part of the reintegration process is to help the soldiers learn to renegotiate and get back together as a family.
And while the soldiers were deployed, the families learned to live and function as a family without one important member that was deployed.
That's right.
So it's a little different for them too, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so here you have this, the soldier comes back and, you know, was able to focus on his mission when he was forward and do one job, and now he comes back stateside and is a civilian pounding nails in a week or two, and all of a sudden he's overwhelmed with taskings and schedules and you know, coming back to a different kind of job, when there's all kinds of things to negotiate there, learning the process of renegotiating in the family, reestablishing roles and authority and this sort of thing. And then, of course, all the jobs and the tasks. Who's going to do these things? The checkbook and the cutting of the grass and fixing this or that. And so there's a lot that soldiers face with in terms of getting back home. And we offer all manner of support for that. There's counseling services. There's military family life consultants, director of psychological health. Military One Source offers counseling. Plus, there's all the resources that the VA offers. A lot of times they'll call the chaplain because they just don't know where else to go. And so we provide some spiritual care to them, pastoral care, if you will. And then we make a referral to help them get back on their feet that way.
And chaplain, for those that haven't been in the military, and only about 1% of our population serves in there now, when you go to war, when you go to war zone for a year, you come back changed, don't you?
Absolutely. And the changes that you end up experiencing are not really changes that you think are going to be made. And so that even me, with the resources that I have and the resources that are available to me and having head knowledge of all these things, and I still had my feelings of being overwhelmed for some time with the schedules and the all the sporting events and coming back to, you know, what am I going to do now, and not having that daily grind. And then the wife feeling overwhelmed and says, okay, now you're home and here's everything for you. Well, that causes some challenges. And so families can get involved in all manner of support groups, counseling as a family and as a couple, marriage counseling. They come to a Strong Bonds event. Very powerful to help teach them how to reconnect and communicate as a couple, all kinds of stuff.
And chaplain, you had some firsthand experience with this because you returned from Kuwait last December, and you are married and you have a couple of children.
That's right. That's right.
How was that coming home for you, chaplain?
Well, of course, there's that first phase, which is the overwhelming sense of happiness and joy, and there's that honeymoon. I brought my wife to Hawaii, and then after about 30 days of being home, came back on orders to support BCT, and get back to business, if you will, back to work, and doing the things that we're doing to sustain. My family's been deployed for 4 years, technically, because I did the rear deck for the cab, and then I went forward, and then I'm doing rear deck now for BCT. So we're experiencing all the scheduled things that military families are facing, and because we're supporting those events like the Family Prep Academy and Soldier Readiness Processing, SRPs, and all the things that help get soldiers ready to go to war, but then also all the things that military provides for families, so staffing those events and all those things. So it feels like you're deployed too, but the work is important and it's necessary for us to be here, and I'm just so happy and joyous to be able to serve in this way.
The chaplain, with that first-hand experience, had to really help in some of the calls you're getting, because you've been there and been through it.
Oh yes.
Hopefully not in a very difficult way. I can't imagine it's going to be, although your wife might have had a little trouble retraining you when you got home, but that's another story.
Exactly.
This is all about sustaining oneself as a family member despite a deployment and how to react to it coming back. And what kind of calls do you get?
Well, the self-care piece, the military families have a hard time asking for help. And so nobody asks them to, you know, they didn't sign up the culture society to be soldiers. And they don't expect to have all this outpouring of support, although it's there. And so when a soldier or family calls, they're really in a crisis, and it's so hard for them to ask for help as it is. And oftentimes we have things that are the straw that breaks the camel's back. And, you know, oftentimes it's a small thing on the outside here that's happening back here. It could be that the garage door cord breaks or the door handle falls off, and the soldier's spouse will call me overwhelmed because the door handle broke. But really underneath that, she's feeling like she's alone.
That was just a symptom.
And it was a symptom.
We're speaking with Chaplain Captain Vince Hokkanen from the Minnesota National Guard on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on News Talk, AM 1130. Chaplain, have you got an example you can give us? And how big of a spot does your religion play in this thing?
That's right. Well, you know, we have soldiers that are deploying all the time. And I'll get a call from a soldier, and particular one that comes to mind, won't mention names, of course, but they're afraid of dying, going to a combat zone and losing their life. And we are out there to offer some measure of solace for them. We represent, as chaplains, we represent the presence of God. And one of our doctrinal ideas as chaplains we're trained in is ministry of presence. So, again, that thing, that the final straw that broke the camel's back, the door breaks, the car breaks down, a flat tire, and then they call, and underneath that is a spiritual concern about dying.
And all of us that have been deployed and gone to war have thought that at one time. Am I going to get home?
Exactly. And so if the soldiers feel that, certainly the families feel that. And we offer support not only through personal counsel, but through the scriptures. Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In no small way, our military family members are in crisis, both the soldier and the family, and they're in trouble. But we have a promise from Scripture that says that God is present in those times. And we use the Word of God as a source of strength, and we receive peace at the same time. And we can bring that encouragement to them, not only through listening. Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And reminding our soldiers of that, even in the dangerous places that they are, but also reminding family members, ultimately, he's present. That doesn't diminish the fact that we suffer. It doesn't diminish the fact that there are hardships and pains. But what it reminds us is that he's there present with us and walking with us through that time. Sort of like the footprints that you've seen before and you know, the footprints poem and all that.
Chaplain, we're talking about, in our first segment, we were talking about how to help the families, and now we're talking about how to stay together as a family and maintain sustaining oneself as a family, and spirituality, of course, is certainly a part of it.
Absolutely.
But I don't want the listeners to get the idea that our Minnesota National Guard troops are in trouble or they're having lots of problems. By and large, what kind of shape are our troops in mentally, physically, and spiritually?
Of course they're physically fit. Of course they're mentally fit. They're the best trained soldiers in the world, and they're doing their jobs, and they're doing a fantastic job at it. And the families are proud. They're so proud of what their soldiers are doing. And even though they feel alone, they experience that loneliness, and their daddy or their mom's overseas, they are proud to serve their nation. And they're very, very good to go. And they have the resources that are available out there to help them. Yeah, they feel alone at times. They have their moments. But overall, our soldiers are motivated, and they're ready to do their jobs, and they're doing it. And their mission is successful overseas. And the family's mission succeeds as a result of preparation, but also the outpouring of support that our folks here offer.
And Chaplain, we've talked about this before too, but 40 years ago there wasn't this type of support for the military and their families.
That's right.
The military and the families have to feel really good about all of the support networks that are here and all the resources that are available to you and the Chaplain Corps to minister to them today.
It provides the tool, and we just constantly tell the families and the soldiers, ask for help. Ask for help. Ask for help. It's there. And so in terms of sustainment, you know, there are a lot of things that the spouses need to do, but particularly they need to focus on, at times, taking care of themselves, getting time away from their burdens, their schedules, and even the kids. And that's really hard for the spouse because the kids then are, you know, in someone else's care, and they may not feel comfortable with that. But OMK, Operation Military Kids, is offering a retreat in Brainerd in November. What a tremendous opportunity for them to take advantage of that and go and be, you know, help take care of their kids, while they can also have a time of enjoyment as well.
Chaplain, just got a few seconds left. Any final thought for our listeners?
Yes. Soldiers and ask for help. Families ask for help. And the public, I hope, would be willing to help them in any way they can. And contact Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and the other organizations that are out there that provide care for families, and become the hands and feet of the Holy Spirit and do the work that's necessary to help sustain these families through the rotation.
Chaplain, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen from the Minnesota National Guard. And for all our listeners that want to have an opportunity to help, please go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Command Sergeant Major Scott Mills, and our new incoming Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, and, of course, Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen, Commissioner Larry Shalodow of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Air Force Reserve's 934th Airlift Wing and Minnesota Warriors hockey. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.